This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator at North Carolina for football, will join us later this hour. But Wes, we have announcements to make, and we're heading down to Clemson, South Carolina. We're making his seventh appearance on Packer and Durham, the one and only Dan Radakovich.
That's right, seven. Lucky seven.
Well, guys, good morning. And, you know, when you talk about Power Hour here in Clemson, it has a totally different meaning, and that's something that our longtime strength coach Joey Batson had termed for a lot of our student athletes, football student athletes, and Joey's recovering from surgery right now, so I just want to be able to give a shout out to he and his wife, Susan, and his whole family to get well soon, and Joey's just been here forever and has done just a fantastic job, so best wishes for his speedy recovery.
Well said.
Absolutely. Well said. Great to have you back on this program. When we were told you were coming on for a special announcement, I felt that President Clemens' schedule was so occupied that you were going to be tasked with slipping some invoice to Packer for some unpaid fees or something now that Emerson has graduated and he's an empty nester from the college tuition game.
Yeah, it was either that or to tell Mark where the Clemson House sign is. It was one of those two things that, you know, we were all trying to figure out exactly what this – you guys were thinking what this announcement would be. But to be honest with you, this might be more important.
I hope it is, because I know where that – after my last visit, hanging out with Dabo and John Gruden and all the bigwigs down there for the all-in ball, I found out where it is. So – you can't hide that from me anymore, Dan. I know where it is. So I know that's not what this announcement is. And you're right. What you're about to tell us is much more important.
Well, you know, it's really been, over the last couple of months, a lot of great work by Stephanie Johnson, our SWA, Graham Neff, our deputy, and a lot of people in our department looking at the two women's sports that we're going to add to make sure that we maintain Title IX compliance, gender equity. That's really important for us. And as our demographics on campus have changed, it's one of those things that needed to happen. But as we move along in 2023, the spring of 23, Clemson will participate in the incredibly difficult ACC Women's Lacrosse League. With a new women's lacrosse team. And then the following spring in 2024, Clemson will compete with Pitt, North Carolina, and North Carolina State in women's gymnastics. So those two sports, lacrosse and gymnastics, will be added to our portfolio. Really excited about both of those. It's going to be a lot of fun having these 50 new women approximately come into our athletic fold and really begin to participate in Clemson. And we have some work to do. We need to now start hiring coaches and updating some facilities, but really excited about it.
Dan, how difficult was it to select those sports? I mean, I'm sure you went through a crazy process there.
We did. We had a lot of other sports that expressed interest, but at the end of the day, the two sports that kind of aligned us best with the ACC, that were established sports that allowed us to compete at a very, very high level here in the southeastern part of the country, and obviously within the ACC, those two sports came to mind. And there's an awful lot of interest in both of those sports. You know, here in our area, for example, women's lacrosse has started a high school championship here in South Carolina, and certainly gymnastics throughout the Southeast has had a very strong foothold for years. So those were the two sports that kind of came to the top and hit a lot of the criteria for us to make that selection.
Dan, you've done this already in your tenure at Clemson with the addition of softball, which has been – my goodness, in not quite two full seasons, as we all know from a year ago, what John Rittman has done and what you've done from a facility perspective and a fan support perspective has been phenomenal. in adding women's lacrosse, and you said it best. I mean, this is the toughest league in the country in women's lacrosse, but yet no hesitancy about diving into that deep end of the pool and understanding that that's a sport that's growing nationally in this country, I'm guessing, too.
Well, it is. And I think that, you know, when we look at the demographics of Clemson as a university, there is an awful lot of our students who come from that Northeast corridor, in addition, certainly, from the state of South Carolina. So we think that we can offer the southernmost venue right now in women's lacrosse. I think that certainly, as we did with Coach Rittman, we were incredibly fortunate to have him come in and lead our softball program. It all starts at the top, and you know, getting quality coaches for both of these sports will really dictate how quickly we're competitive. So that's our next task, and we're really looking forward to doing that over the summer.
I know that's important for Clemson. It's also important for the league, isn't it? Big picture.
Well, I hope so. I know in gymnastics it now allows other three teams that had been there with the addition of Clemson, that's four, and that's our league rule for an ACC championship. So ACC now sponsors, I believe, 28 championships, right, which is just fantastic. Right. And, you know, that was another one of the pieces of the puzzle as we looked at which sports to add here at Clemson.
Dan, it on the bigger picture for the league, it becomes the 15th women's sport, which is most among the Power Five. And you mentioned 28. That ties them for the most among Power Five as well. So by adding women's gymnastics, essentially it takes the ACC and Jim Phillips' first year of administration kind of to the top of the line here. That's an important aspect about where this conference is going, I would think, even as your group of athletic directors continues to work together.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, ACC has always talked about being a broad-based conference, you know, giving great opportunities to student athletes. And now that we've added this sport, it now puts us in that really great position to continue to be a leader in opportunities, not only broad-based for all men and women, but certainly for women.
All right. I want to go to something you mentioned earlier this week in a visit with Grace Rayner of The Athletic. And it's something Mark's talked about a lot, but it deserves a revisit here. You specifically talked about the relationship between yourself and President Jim Clements in that particular article as it relates to your football success. In these trying times that we've just come out of in college athletics to now add two sports, can you tell us about the relationship and the support of Jim Clements, who's playing such a vital role in the ACC and now the CFP, and what that's meant to your administration in adding these two?
Well, I think, you know, President Clements was right with us as we went through this process. We had given himself and a couple of his key staff members, Max Allen and Chip Hood, a really great analysis and presentation on all the sports that were considered. And, you know, he weighed in on the opinion as to which he thought were good. And it was really quite natural. I mean, Jim and I talked this morning before I came on this show. Mm-hmm. You know, we do have a really great open line of communication. And I think what I tried to get across to Grace is the fact that we have this alignment really helps save time. You know, you could get frustrated. Mm-hmm. An AD can get frustrated. A football coach can get frustrated. A president can get frustrated if there's not that great communication. And it exists here at Clemson because we do have a good line of communication, but we also trust one another that we don't have to dive deep into every decision. You know, it kind of flows naturally. What's important for the university is important for athletics, which is important in the case of Grace's article in our football program. So it's a pleasure and honor to be a part of an organization that works that way.
Dan, you're a part of the College Football Playoff Committee. Going to be an important couple days in Chicago coming up here at the end of the week here, Thursday, Friday. Your initial thought when you heard, hey, 4-12, seemed aggressive, seemed about right. You tell me, what was your perspective?
Well, you know, that's more opportunities for student athletes to participate. I think that, you know, we have to be really careful as we look at the student athlete and the time and effort that they're putting into the sport. But certainly if part of the process was to get more teams to participate in the college football playoff and broaden its reach, that was accomplished. I thought that the idea that this was done over 2 years with those four individuals, that was fantastic, that no one really got a whiff of it until the time when they thought the cake was fully baked. And now it'll be the next part of the process, which is the valuation, which is the logistics. All of those things are incredibly important as we come to a conclusion, which hopefully will happen this fall.
All right, I want to follow up on that. You sat in that room and, you know, found the way to get the first four done. Then you sat there a couple more years as that process continued to evolve. Just can you shed a little light on what going to 12 might be like in that room? I mean, I know it plays out mathematically at the end, but the evaluation process to me would be come even elongated, if you will.
Yeah, and Wes, I'll tell you that just very simply, six, they're going from choosing four to six because six will be conference champions. So I think it's just a little bit further because right now conference championships are important, but they're not automatic. So now that we have six automatic berths put into the 12, the College Football Playoff Committee certainly has to continue to rank them. That's important. But really, their selection is the other six at-large bids. So will it be a little bit different dynamic? It could be. But I don't think it's that big of a lift for them to be able to move from a committee perspective from 4 to 12.
Dan, let me get you back to Clemson. Season ticket holders, Death Valley, rocking and rolling again. There's been a lot of announcements across the country getting back to full stadiums. Big picture with the Tigers and a fan base with, I think, the best home field advantage that you can imagine. Where are you heading into the fall?
We're in a great spot, Pac. We are at 96% renewal. We can only sell 59,000 tickets. We're at about 56.5, maybe a little closer to 57,000. So we're in an incredible spot right now. You know, we're looking for full capacity. We're looking for tailgating. We're looking for all the things that make a Saturday in Clemson, South Carolina, a special football Saturday. We're looking forward to doing that again. And it's a testament to our fans. I mean, we had so many people who stayed with us from a donation perspective, or, you know, last year we were only allowed to have 23-24%. So the 18,000 that were able to be in the stadium really made a big difference for us. And we again think that the fans that we have and the home field advantage will continue to exist.
By the way, just a quick follow-up with that. Just a quick follow-up with that. I've been checking the mail lately. I still didn't get those four for the Georgia game yet. So I assume we got that covered, right?
Did we get that gold platinum American Express card number yet?
No. No, you didn't. No.
That would be no.
See, that's it. Hey, let me tell you something, Pac. I worked for him for enough years that I can safely say that if you want four, they may be available in exchange for about 13 digits.
Oh, yes. On a serious note, Dan, since you've been at Clemson, and you have been involved in some monstrous games, and playoff games are different. I get it. Playoff games are different. But where would you put Clemson, Georgia in Charlotte, given both teams think they're going to the national championship? And they could. Like I said earlier, this could be the first of two between these two this year. Where would you stack this one up in terms of interest level? How many times you get that kidding around, hey, I got four, you know, that routine. Where would you put this game since you've been at Clemson in the big picture?
Well, it's June 17th, and we're talking about something that far ahead. I don't believe that's happened before for us. And we started the year with Georgia back in 13 and 14, and those were big games as well. But this one is just going to be huge. You mentioned all of it. I don't think you need the athletic director, either myself or Josh Brooks, to hype this game. It is just on a different level, and we are so honored to be a part of it, and we're looking forward to it. And it's going to be an exciting day at Bank of America Stadium up in Charlotte.
Yeah, it's great for college football.
No, it's unbelievable. It'll It'll be good, but Pac, all it takes is that credit card. You can be there.
Well,
Platinum AX.
I, you know what? That's actually a start, because I thought you were just going to say, Pac, it's cash and a cash only business. I thought that's what for sure that I was going to get from you on that.
I trust you, Mark.
Oh, there you go. Of course. You know, because something tells me, that conversation you have with President Clements when you said, "Hey, listen, I got to go. I'm going on Packer and Durham." I'm sensing the other end of the line went, "Why? Why are you doing that, Dan? What? You really don't have to do that."
No, he was genuinely excited about the process of us starting and announcing these two new women's sports on Packer and Durham, because he understands how important the network is to the conference, and we just want to make sure that we share this kind of great news for Clemson and the conference, you know, on our flagship.
Amen. Love it.
Well, thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. Means a lot. Congratulations on adding these two programs, and more importantly, not to say one's more important than the other, but also solidifying another championship for the ACC. That's a big step conference-wide, too. And congratulations to you and President Clemens and all your staff on the hard work. And as they say, you're only in the beginning phases of this, but we look forward to watching this develop over the next couple of years.
Awesome. Guys, thank you so much for the opportunity today. And you have a great rest of the summer, and we'll see you in July.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network. Many thanks to Dan Radakovich with really breaking news, big story. Adding two women's sports, and of course you mentioned, Wes, the trickle-down effect it's got on the ACC, the 28th sponsor sport, the 15th women championship, with now gymnastics being tied into that. So that is all big news, and Dan will be going through the hiring process, looking for coaches, as he said, and everything else that comes in ties into gymnastics and lacrosse. So very big news there out of Tigertown.
I would ask you this, in adding women's lacrosse, it kind of plays to what we heard during the course of the year from coaches at other institutions in the ACC on the women's side. The sport of lacrosse, Dan mentioned South Carolina's high school athletic association now staging a state championship in lacrosse for ladies. Pac, didn't we oftentimes hear about Florida in lacrosse, as that's where, like, Orlando being one of the hotbeds for recruiting and things like that?
Yep.
I know we did when we got into the national championship, but now look at the women's lacrosse teams starting in 22-23, and as Daniel indicated, the southernmost team will be Clemson. And this is all good for the ACC. There's nothing wrong with any of this right here.
Well, it's good for the sport, and you know, lacrosse is taking off. If you haven't been watching our show, if you haven't been watching the numbers from people watching lacrosse nationally, the interest level, it's not just a Southeast thing, it's just nationwide. So it would not surprise me if you see more teams added to this list in the near future down the road. But again, the sport's on fire. I think the two sports that have really kind of jumped out at us this spring, since we kind of gotten back into the flow of things again, you just saw it with softball, right, which is taking off and going crazy. And you've seen it with both men's and women's lacrosse. I think those are the two really hot sports up and above your quote-unquote football, basketball, baseball routine that have really kind of taken center stage, and people are paying attention to it. Again, it all starts with, you know, youth play and so forth. And but you can just kind of feel the momentum of both of those sports in particular, at least with what we do. And I told you, even on the radio, when I threw that lacrosse question out the other day, man, the phone lines went nuts coast to coast. So it's kind of cool to see it in work here. And the ACC, obviously, way ahead of the game in the lacrosse world versus everybody else. And obviously, the job Lonnie's done with softball, what you see happening now at Clemson and at Duke, at Virginia Tech and other schools in softball, been fantastic, too. So it's all good. It's all positive, which is fantastic.
On at least one ACC team's played in 11 of the last 12 national championship games in women's lacrosse. So suffice it to say that when Clemson says they're going to jump into the deep end of the water in that pool, they certainly are. The gymnastics element also, as Dan mentioned, allows the ACC to conduct a championship in gymnastics, and it will become the 28th sport sponsored by the league. joining NC State, North Carolina, and Pittsburgh. That's a big deal, too. That's the most of any Power 5 league in 28 championships. And we told you the women's title is the 15th, which is the most among the Pac 5 or the Power 5 as well. So good to see gymnastics adding another one. That's something we have not touched on very much at all on this channel. Again, no championships. Not that it's not important, but you see the success of gymnastics and the exposure gymnastics has gotten on other networks and nationally as well, especially with an Olympic year in progress and things like that, too.
Like I said, to me, this is all positive news. It gives more opportunities from a coaching perspective, obviously for student athletes and for the conference. And, what's the downside? Let it rip. It's all good.
Yeah. Let me ask you this as an alum. Are you – some of this, obviously, what has happened with softball there? We touched on it during the spring. What has happened with softball there was a spark that helped set the move for any possible additions like these two that were announced today. What's happened there, Pac, is the revival of that fan base, the interest in that fan base, the interest in the sport. That certainly had to be all positives in the discussion of adding potentially two more here as well, I got to believe.
Well, if you really want to cut to the chase, if you win, they will come, right? To me, all of this, people get fired up when all of a sudden, hey, we're winning, man, let's go. I've never been to a lacrosse game. Hey, let's go. I've never been to a softball game. Let's go. What's field hockey? We're winning. Let's go. I mean, if you're winning, it makes a world of difference. It gives you the opportunity to, number one, generate revenue, generate interest, increase the brand. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, word of mouth gets out. Man, we had the best time. It's fast. It's quick. It's, you're in, out, gone. And plus, in the springtime, you're looking for fun things to do. So I think all that kind of ties in together. Now, granted, Clemson went through some craziness with the track and field situation, which I'm sure helped put all of this in motion as well, which we didn't get into with Dan. And now they've put track and field back together again. So, I mean, all these athletic departments are coming through a miserable year. Nobody had a great year. Mm-hmm. Nobody during the pandemic. So, you start talking about revenue opportunities. You get back in the flow of things. Dan talked about season tickets going through the roof again for Clemson football. People have disposable income, hopefully. And you're like, okay, I'm ready to get out of the house again. I was kidding around about being in this basement for the last 15 months and haven't been anywhere to cover any events. I think fans are like, hey, let's go. Let's go do something. So timing is everything, like everything else. But when you are winning, man, it changes everything. Everything. Yeah. Whether we're talking football or softball.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. My thanks to Dan Radakovich, who just joined us on a major announcement coming out of Clemson. They're adding two women's sports, lacrosse and gymnastics. We now switch gears, Mr.
That's
Durham.
Right.
Heading up to Chapel Hill, NC, where we're going to have, making his debut, Phil Longo, offensive coordinator. And when you got number 7 under center and that offensive line all back, I tell you what, you can sleep a little bit better. First of all, Phil, welcome to the show, and I hope life's treating you well. I know it's been crazy. Now we got that dead period over with. You guys are going 100 miles an hour.
It's been 100 miles an hour since June 1st. The floodgates open, and as I told you earlier, I can't wait till the 27th gets here. As long as we get all the guys we need, and that's the way things look like they're going, then this will be a really good month for Tar Heel football.
Coach, here's the deal. We're going to spend a lot of time between now and Friday night, September 3rd, talking about Sam Howell and all these new pieces that he's got around him in the offense. But outside of number 7, maybe the most important pieces coming back are those 5 guys lining up in front of him?
Well, they're certainly the most veteran-oriented group that we have. And, fortunately for us, I think we're getting to a point where we're going to have 8 or 9 that can play for us up there. So we'll be able to keep them fresh and roll through more guys than we have had the luxury of doing in the past. So that's going to be the staple for us up front. We have a really good tight end room coming back. And obviously, We've got Sam coming back for his third season. So we're going to see new faces and new names at the receiver position and at the running back position. But, you know, it's just like any other team. You graduate or get some guys drafted and you move in the next group of talented kids and you try and go get it done with those guys.
Phil, what did you tell Sam Howell in the offseason that, you know what, you're a terrific player, all that great stuff. We get all that. But what did you tell him that he needed to work on?
That's probably the most common question I get. And I think Sam and I sat down and, you know, I said this at the end of last year. I don't just give him the plan anymore. You know what I mean? He's so intelligent. We sit down and collaborate and talk about things. What do we need to get done? And the three things we came up with between Sam and I is we wanted to continue working on his hip flexibility to improve his mobility athletically out on the field. You know, that was one of the physical things. I wanted him to take the final step leadership-wise, which is complete ownership over the offense and the team and be the third-year veteran that he is. And so he's demonstrated the ability to do that in the spring and in the summer. He's running all the workouts and taking care of things he needs to do from a leadership standpoint. And then the last thing is, and this isn't completely to get him ready for the NFL, it's also to expand his knowledge so that he can make better decisions during some adverse defensive times this year. And that is, we're studying, much like we started last year, we're calling our offense against all the defensive fronts and coverages. We're going to take each team in the NFL and call an offensive game against those defenses like we did the New England Patriots yesterday. And so that just in an effort to expand his knowledge in the game of football.
You talk about that side of it, and last year, Mark and I had the chance to visit with him a couple different times leading up to what was going to be an awkward year, and he talked about dropping some weight. I think he lost 10, 12 pounds, he said, along the way. Now, obviously, he was doing strength and stuff like that in addition to it. What did you see from that step last year that you're optimistic about the step he can take next year, just in his commitment to this offseason? Because to me, it seemed like he really embraces the offseason. Where some guys drift away, he dives even more into it.
Well, he came to us a little hefty. I mean, he came to us at 230 pounds. And so he got down even for the first season. I'm going to guess he's probably like 222, 223. And this past season, I think he played between 218 and 220. He's as athletic as I've ever seen him. He's a lot more chiseled than he was, and he's in great shape. And outside of the leadership piece, I know, you know, the one area I thought maybe he can improve on was he's so elite in so many areas that, you know, the TB12 deal from Tom Brady, meaning that obsessive focus on sleep and nutrition and what you eat and what you put in your body and what you don't want to put in your body, you know, that's probably been a little bit more of a conversation piece for us this year. And he's done a really, really good job of preparing himself from a physical standpoint for this upcoming season.
Phil, the Orange Bowl gave some guys opportunities to play against the quality opposition on a big stage. What did you learn from that bowl game as far as positions like wide receiver, running back, which will obviously be emphasized into the spring, into the fall, and so forth moving forward? What did you learn from that?
Well, it was an interesting approach in terms of preparing for A&M because we had two players opt out previous to the 2 weeks that we had in preparation for the game. So you plan accordingly. And, of course, at that time we thought Javonte Williams was still going to play. And so our game plan revolved a lot around Sam and Javonte. And then after a week, Javonte opted out, and so we had to restructure the game plan and go about it a completely different way that last week heading up into the Orange Bowl game. And, you know, it thrust greater responsibility on some of our younger kids. And, you know, a great example of one of those younger guys is Josh Downs, you know, who caught two touchdown passes in that game. And I think we've got, as I said, a number of young, talented running backs in our room here and some younger, very talented receivers in our room here. And we're going to have to lean on those guys. And so we did. You know, we increased their reps, and obviously their role was much bigger now. And we're never going to be able to replace the experience we lost until these kids play for a couple of years. But from a talent standpoint, I think we feel pretty good about those two rooms.
Michael Carter and Javonte Williams were as good as it gets, Coach. I mean, we all watched that a year ago. You get a transfer in Ty Chandler from Tennessee, who for the Vols a season ago was as good as they had in all-purpose yardage. How do you plug and play a guy like Ty Chandler coming to Chapel Hill this year?
So, Ty, first thing I've got to tell you is we lost two good athletes, but we lost even two better people. I mean, tremendous character guys. And Ty is very much from a demeanor standpoint like Javonte. You know, he's kind of no-nonsense. He's a little quieter. You know, Michael was so outgoing. Javonte came to work, went to work, and did a heck of a job. And Ty has done a phenomenal job this spring. He looks like a veteran on the field. He's polished. He's played in the SEC. And we're going to benefit from that experience. And you know, he's the veteran in the room right now. He didn't know the offense any better than anybody else in the room. If anything, he knew it less. And so he is out there just about every day throwing with Sam, working on the mesh stuff and the run game, and has done a tremendous job assimilating himself into our program. And, you know, this spring's been so long. I feel like Ty's been here for 4 years. He's done a good job, and I think he'll surprise a lot of people with his production this upcoming season.
Phil, I'm sure Max talked to everybody, players, coaches, any media, everybody else. The expectation level, the outside noise, as it's called, is never going to be greater than in Chapel Hill in a long, long time. And, again, that's the good news, that people expect you to be good, and you're obviously making progress going 1,000 miles an hour. From a mental standpoint, what has been the message to the players as far as, hey, guess what? People are going to be bragging about us a lot. June, July, August. You're now in an interesting spot. People expect North Carolina to be ACC champs, into contention, maybe college football playoff, top 10 preseason, all that stuff. How do you handle mentally the outside noise this summer and into the fall?
You know, a few things come to mind when you ask that question. I mean, Mack Brown, you know, we're working for the best guy in college football. And one of the things that makes him so great is, you know, and I say this sincerely, he is just phenomenal at getting out ahead of issues. You know, whether it's racial issues, whether it's the vaccine and the pandemic, whether it's disciplinary stuff, whether it's a growing issue that is going to rear its ugly head on campus, anything like that. He's always so far out ahead of it. He's always thinking way out ahead of a lot of these problems. And at times, I think you might have a player or a coach say, look, why is he talking about this in the team meeting? And then a month from now, it hits and it's a big national topic. And I think our players have been much more, and our staff have been much more prepared for some of these things that have come down the road, including the attention that we're now getting because of some of the past success and because of the expectations that people have for our program now. And I think the fact that he cuts this stuff off and he hits you early with it prepares our players. And it, really, it's business as usual. Understand what the expectations are. Understand that we probably have to practice and play and prepare harder this year just to accomplish what we did last year. Imagine what we have to do if we want to elevate and do them greater things than what we did last year. So our guys understand it. You know, with regards to Sam in particular, he's so nonchalant and chill about things, much like I am. We're very similar that way. And I don't think the outside noise for the team, and I don't think the outside noise for the quarterback here is going to be an issue. It's right now our only focus is Virginia Tech, Georgia State, and UVA. That's the first third of our schedule. That's the block Mac asked us to concentrate on, and that's all we talk and think about.
You know, it's interesting. You and I have had great conversations prior to ball games about installation of the offense, schemes, schematics, all those type things. Max visited with Packer and I about putting this program back together and seeking you out to come in and run the offense, seeking Jay out to come in and run the defense, and adding guys like Dre and Figpen and all these other guys that are part of the staff there in such a meaningful way. Now that you're a couple years into this, what's that meant to Phil Longo to be part of this? We know what it's meant to Mac. We've seen the results on the field. But what's it been like to come in and see this thing as the offensive coordinator take shape?
You know, two things come to mind. The first thing I tell you is it's an honor for me because, you know, after Mac left Texas, he spent 4 or 5 years in the media and commentating games. And, you know, during that whole time, the game wasn't passing Coach Brown by. He was studying the game. You know, and he's interviewing mm-hmm. coaches and he's meeting with them and he's doing some different things in terms of studying the game. He's watching all the new offenses and defense, all the, you know, the cutting edge stuff that's came down the pike in the game. And he's very aware of all of it. So for me, you know, I've always seen it as an honor that, you know, he chose to hire me here at North Carolina because he could have hired anybody. And, you know, he gave me a call and he didn't say come interview. He said, I want you to come take the job, you know. And I said to him, man, coach, I'd love to come interview. He said, you know, I've been talking to you 30 seconds and already you're not listening to me. He said, job's yours. I need you to come out here and bring your wife with you so you can meet myself and Miss Sally Brown, spend some time. So that part of it was an honor. And I every day want to do as good a job as I can because you don't want to disappoint him. I don't mind when he's mad. I tell that to everybody. He gets mad at you, it's going to happen. It's all business. It's nothing personal. I hate it when he's disappointed. When he's disappointed, you know, it's a little bit different. You know, and then the other thing is, he's got such a great vision for the program. And everybody believes that he knows how to get there. And so we're just working our tail off to try and get there maybe a little bit quicker than he thinks.
Yeah. Phil, when it comes to game day, can you give us a story where he made you laugh on game day? I mean, you guys are all talking and, you know, I'm on the couch watching Wes's broadcasting. And I've always wondered some of the conversations that take place during a ball game, because every now and then they'll do a cutaway. You'll see coach or whatever. You're over there laughing, cutting up. Hey, give me a for instance. If you remember a game, a moment, a play, maybe it backfired. Maybe it was a great call. I don't know. You tell me. That you had a great laugh between you two.
Oh, he's gonna get mad at me for telling you this story. But we had a I just talked about it the other day with Coach Lilly. We had a really good start to our Duke game this past season. You know, and on the first 7 drives of the game, we're up. We scored 7 touchdowns. So we didn't punt. I don't know if we punted the whole game, and so we scored 7 touchdowns on the first 7 drives, and on the 8th drive, which is like midway through the third quarter, so. We've got 49 points on the board. It's like midway through the third quarter. We're driving. Sam is running the offense, and we're moving fairly methodically down the field. And, you know, he kind of slips to the left and throws an interception. And it was the first drive that we didn't finish with points. And Coach Brown comes walking down casually because he's not very uppity. He doesn't get very loud. And he just comes down there, and Coach Lilly happened to be standing next to me. And he said, Phil, what are we doing? We got to get things going on offense. And I'm thinking to myself, I certainly didn't say anything offensive. I didn't say anything, but I mean, I'm thinking, you know what? And Coach Lilly just looked at me and smiled, and I said, we just scored 7 out of 8. What happens is when you play well, you have greater expectations, right, and higher standards, and he always wants to be better than we are, and I get it. And I probably would have said the same thing, but it was a funny moment for us because we had just gone 7.
Oh, I know.
Great.
Hey, great to have you with us. Enjoy the rest of June. I know it's been a little hectic, but we look forward to catching up with you in the month of August. Always great to speak with you.
Y'all are great. I appreciate the invite. Thank you. Y'all have a good summer, okay?
You too, Coach. Take
you
care.
You bet. Phil Longo, offensive coordinator at North Carolina. He's got a little bit of a squad with him, drawing up some ball plays, as they say, Pac, for number 7 this season.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a Thursday show. Show number 409. 409.
Is that 409? Yeah. And today's the 17th, right? 17th? Yeah.
It's a Thursday.
17th. Thursday the 17th and 409. Gotcha.
Make sure you get your notebook right.
I will. We got something. First of all, we'll see if this passes the Mark Packer quality uniform test, because I know we've had a lot of commentary. I mean, Link Jarrett called you out about the all greens.
Yeah,
Elliot's well aware you don't like the all red.
No,
you're not. You didn't. I'm proud of you. You didn't go talk with Doran about the black that sometimes NC State wears the other day in a visit with him.
I say it every time with NC State. Go listen to your fight song. The red and white of NC State.
That's
who you are.
All right. Okay. So Pat Kraft hinted to us a couple weeks ago.
Sure did.
That there would be some new football jerseys.
He did.
Well, yesterday, old Boston College rolled them out. Let's see if they pass the Mark Packer uniform test. What do you say? Oh, block letters like that. Old school BC logo. What do you think?
I got no problem with them.
Oh, yeah. On the shoulder BC. I like that. Oh, Zion Johnson.
Nope, I got no problem.
Djokovic.
Yep.
Like those, huh?
Yep, I do.
They're going to look sharp. September 4, Boston College hosts Colgate, high noon, right here on ACC Network. Why not an early tease? That'll follow the huddle pack.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope it follows the huddle. The
yeah, might, 12
you
noon.
May, you might be doing that game. You might be doing that game.
You never know. Never know. Never know.
By the way, so with that said, if you're doing the game, you're the guy that really needs the jerseys more than me. I'm on the couch eating popcorn and drinking cold beverages. I mean, the number's good enough. They pop off the back, the front. You're good with that? See, there you go.
Play-by-play guys, very happy with the block numbers. Yeah. Yes.
There it is. That's all that matters.
Very happy.
That's all that matters.
Thanks to Mike Barber for helping us with the Virginia Two-A-Day, Andy Bitter for helping us with Virginia Tech, part of our Two-A-Days. Tomorrow, Pittsburgh and Boston College profiled as part of Packer and Durham Two-A-Days. Dan Radakovich, congratulations to Clemson on the addition of women's lacrosse in 23 and gymnastics in the winter of 2024, January 24 for women's gymnastics. That gives the ACC another championship sport, by the way. On tomorrow's show, Mike Rooney, who will be part of our ACC Network coverage from Omaha with Danny Graves and also with Kelsey Riggs. Baseball All-American Carson Palmquist will be a part of this show tomorrow. Pitcher for Miami, won it as a freshman, joining Matthew Nelson of Florida State. They were both named First Team All-American by the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association PAC. So congratulations to those two guys. We'll visit with Carson Palmquist tomorrow, Mike Rooney, and the Two-A-Days with Pitt and BC. Now, let me share this with you, okay? We're going to get more into this tomorrow, but I wanted you to be able to take this to the afternoon show, okay? A late announcement last night from the West Coast.
I already know where you're going. You know why?
Los Angeles Bowl has a new sponsor.
This is the very early worksheet for today's radio show. I mean, this will be filled to the brim by 4 o'clock. The very first thing I wrote right here. The very first thing I wrote. Bowl business reaches a new milestone, and you know I'm going there, and that will be. That will be the lead today at 4 o'clock p.m. on Sirius XM 84 when I rip that to shreds.
Jimmy Kimmel is the corporate name on the Los Angeles Bowl, which features the number one team in the Mountain West and the number five Pac-12 team. Now, I should add, Kimmel is an alum of both UNLV and Arizona State.
Tremendous.
Covers both leagues. Just saying.
Great.
Jimmy Kimmel, L.A. Bowl.
I mean, do you even need to say anything else? Seriously. To rip it. And maybe that's how I lead off the show at 4 o'clock today. I just say that and just quiet for about 5 seconds.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, Sirius XM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.